ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम। रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 6। अजोपि सन् अव्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् प्रकृतिं स्वाम् अधिष्ठाय संभवामि आत्ममायया। अजोऽपि सन् अव्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् प्रकृतिं स्वाम् अधिष्ठाय संभवामि आत्ममायया। श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation: Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Purport: The Lord has spoken about the peculiarity of His birth. Although He may appear like an ordinary person, He remembers everything of His many past births. Whereas a common man cannot remember what he has done even a few hours before. If someone is asked what he did exactly the same time one day earlier, it would be very difficult for a common man to answer immediately. He would surely have to dredge his memory to recall what he was doing exactly at the same time one day before. And yet, men often dare claim to be God or Krishna. One should not be misled by such meaningless claims. Then again, the Lord explains His prakriti or His form. Prakriti means nature, as well as swarupa or one's own form. The Lord says that He appears in His own body. He does not change His body as a common man, common living entity changes from one body to another. The conditioned soul may have one kind of body in the present birth, but he has a different body in the next birth. In the material world, the living entity has no fixed body, but transmigrates from one body to another. The Lord, however, does not do so. Whenever He appears, He does so in the same original body by His internal potency. In other words, Krishna appears in this material world in His original eternal form with two hands holding a flute. He appears exactly in His eternal body, uncontaminated by this material world. Although He appears in the same transcendental body and He is the Lord of the universe, it still appears that He takes His birth like an ordinary living entity. And although His body does not deteriorate like a material body, it still appears that Lord Krishna grows from childhood to boyhood and from boyhood to youth. But astonishingly enough, He never ages beyond youth. At the time of the battle of Kurukshetra, He had many grandchildren at home, or in other words, He had sufficiently aged by material calculations. Still, He looked just like a young man 20 or 25 years old. We never see a picture of Krishna in an old age because He never grows old like us. Although He is the oldest person in the whole creation, past, present and future, neither His body nor His intelligence never deteriorates or changes. Therefore, it is clear that in spite of His being in the material world, He is the same unborn, eternal form of bliss and knowledge, changeless in His transcendental body and intelligence. Factually, His appearance and disappearance is like the sun rising, moving before us and then disappearing from our eyesight. When the sun is out of sight, we think that the sun is set, and when the sun is before our eyes, we think that the sun is on the horizon. Actually, sun is always in its fixed position, but owing to our defective, insufficient senses, we calculate the appearance and disappearance of the sun in the sky. And because Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance are completely different from that of an ordinary common living entity, it is evident that He is eternal, blissful knowledge by His internal potency, and He never is never contaminated by material nature. The Vedas also confirm that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unborn yet he still appears to take his birth in multi manifestations. The Vedic supplementary literature also confirm that even though the Lord appears to be taking his birth, he is still without change of body. In Bhagavatam, he appears before his mother as Narayan with four hands and the decorations of six kinds of full opulences. His appearance in his original eternal form is his causeless mercy bestowed upon the living entities so that they can concentrate on the Supreme Lord as he is and not on mental concoctions or imaginations, which the impersonalists wrongly think the Lord's forms to be. The word Maya or Atma Maya refers to Lord's causeless mercy according to the Vishwakosha dictionary. The Lord is conscious of all his previous appearances and disappearances, but a common living entity forgets everything about his past body as soon as he gets another body. He is the Lord of all living entities because he performs wonderful and superhuman activities like he is on this earth. Therefore, the Lord is always the same absolute truth and is without differentiation between his form and self or between his quality and body. A question may now be raised as to why the Lord appears and disappears in this world. This is explained in the next verse. So translation once again. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in the every millennium in my original transcendental form. So in this chapter entitled Transcendental Knowledge, Krishna is actually revealing his identity, revealing his exact form, revealing his exact nature. And therefore, when this chapter begins, this fourth chapter, he says that this science, which I am now going to speak to you, I have spoken this, it is not that I am speaking for the first time. I have spoken this before to the sun god Vivasvan, then spoke to his son Ishvaku, and from then Manu, and from Manu the entire parampara was manifested. But in the due course of time, as the nature of the material world is, the chain was broken and therefore it was lost. The whole science was lost. And this ancient science of the relationship between the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my dear devotee as well as my friend. And therefore, understand the transcendental mystery of this science. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, that is repeating this science which he had spoken millions of years before to the sun god. So obviously, if two friends are speaking and if one friend boasts himself that what I am speaking is not for the first time, I have spoken to people much generations before. So there will always an element of doubt. How it is possible? Because Krishna and Arjuna were practically of the same age. They were like two friends. And sun god is existing from the time of creation. So seniorly, so elderly. So how can Arjuna believe that you can speak the same science to sun god? So as a true friend, he is inquiring from Krishna that this is something which I am not able to digest it. So please clarify. So Krishna, hearing the response or the question of Arjuna, is clarifying it by saying that many births both you and I have passed. I can remember them, but you cannot. This is the first time where Krishna is exactly actually presenting himself, that he is not someone of a common pool. He is someone, even though appearing to be of the common mass, he is presenting for the first time that he is still something different. Someone different from the whole world. First time. And how do you say? Because both of us have appeared. I remember everything, but you have not. All the births, Krishna is telling. So it is not possible, as Prabhupada speaks in the purport to today's verse. If somebody asks someone that what he did exactly at the same time yesterday, it is very difficult. He will scratch his mind and then he will be able to present. Yes, at this particular moment of time, yesterday exactly or one day before, 2 days before, I was doing this particular thing. Recalling that same moment, it won't be that easy for that person. But Krishna is telling, I remember everything. The first hint which he is giving. And you cannot. That means he is differentiating himself. He is differentiating that don't consider me as one of you. I am something different from all of you. And then he continues to say, and he then speaks this verse, what we are discussing today, that although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium by my original transcendental form. So this chapter is entitled Transcendental Knowledge. That means knowledge which is beyond, transcendent or transcendent means something which is beyond this material world. Transcend, beyond, that's the meaning which dictionary gives. So if some knowledge has to be given which does not belong to this material world in which we are existing, some knowledge beyond this, so someone beyond this material world has to come to present that knowledge. If you want to know about some country which we have never been to, if you want detailed knowledge of that place, then one way is we may either go to some shop and get some guidebooks and we'll come to know. But the most accurate knowledge is when someone from that area, from that locality or from that country, when he comes and he speaks, that is more authoritative. Why? Because he is the person of that place. So if Krishna has to give transcendental knowledge, then he cannot be one of them. And on the other way, it is like only Krishna can give that knowledge. A common man cannot give that transcendental knowledge, knowledge which is beyond this material world. So Krishna is telling that I appear in my original transcendental form, millennium after millennium. Right? So one may think, yes, he may be transcendental, but how does he appear? Because Krishna is telling that I gave this knowledge to Sun God. If someone has to give this knowledge to Sun God, that means he should also exist much before Sun God. He should be elderly to Sun God, or at least he should be equal to Sun God. So Krishna being, as he says in this verse, that I am the Lord of all living entities. That means he is Lord of Sun God also, Vivasvan. Being the Lord of Sun God, Vivasvan, he has the capability, he has the position to give this knowledge to Vivasvan. And one can give this knowledge only when one is senior to that person. And Krishna is claiming that I am much more senior to Sun God also. Therefore, I have imparted this knowledge. And the first thing he says is unborn. So first he said, I was existing. But how does a person exist? How does a person still continue to exist and remain the same? How can a person have the same knowledge? How can a person cannot have forgetfulness? How can he remember all his births? Jai Shri Sada Gopinath Ki Jai. That can only be possible if a person is not of this material world. That is the only criteria. And that is what Krishna is mentioning. That I appear in my transcendental form. So this transcendental form is very important. Then only we'll be able to understand Krishna as it is. Or as he is. Otherwise, the common mistake which people do is because Krishna, the trick of Krishna is when he appears in his original transcendental form, he does not appear like something extraordinary. He appears in extraordinary form also. When he appears like Kurma, when he appears like all other incarnation, Matsya and all that, and performs like appears Narsingdev, people have to understand, go with something different. It is very easy to worship such extraordinary forms. But when Krishna appears in his original form as one of us, then that is the biggest trick. When we see Krishna having face like us, when we see Krishna having limbs like us, when Krishna moving around with us, Krishna talking to us, it is very easy, as a familiarity breeds contempt. It is very possible, or it's quite possible to consider Krishna to be an ordinary person. That is one of the pitfalls where people fail to understand Krishna. And the second point where they fail to understand Krishna is when Krishna performs some extraordinary activities. First of all, they don't accept him because he is looking one of us. And secondly, when he performs some superhuman activities, then what is the conclusion? That also they will not accept it. They will say, no, he can't do it. This is mythology. This is fictitious. This is something imagination. This he can't do. Why? Because we are not able to do it. We are seeing Krishna according to our conception, our perceptions. We fail to understand God. We fail to understand Krishna. And even though I is telling that in my transcendental form I appear. In my transcendental form he appears. But people fail to understand him. Fail to understand him and fail to understand his activities. And the result is, because these activities of the Lord are so beyond our imagination and conception, that it is very difficult for people to digest it. And that results in two things. People either don't accept the existence of the form of the Lord, which results in becoming Mayavadis, considering God to be impersonal, or when it is too much beyond their digestive power, what they say, God does not exist. They become atheists. So Mayavada and atheism is the result of not trying to understand God's transcendental form. So then the question comes, if God is transcendental, something beyond this matter, then what is the difference between matter and transcendence? How can we understand Lord's transcendental form? So then Prabhupada explains in this verse, in the purport, what is the difference between matter and transcendence. So matter, one of the quality of the matter is, it is always under the influence of three modes of material nature. Matter in itself does not have independency. Whatever is happening to the matter, it is always controlled. It is under the direction, dictation of the three modes of material nature. And the second quality is, it always changes, it deteriorates. And Prabhupada mentions that. Every material element in this creation which we see has six, the shad vikaras as they say. It takes birth, it grows, it maintains, it remains stable for some time, then it produces offspring, byproducts, then it dwindles and it is lost, it dies. That is the nature of matter. Constantly changing. Because the material world, the material nature in this material world is acting on each and every element of this material world. So matter is being constantly being influenced, and therefore there is a change. Therefore there is birth and therefore there is death. And along with the death, or along with the transformation of this material body, which also includes the mind, intelligence and ego, there is always remembrance, forgetfulness or whatever combinations. And therefore, remembrance, as Krishna was speaking in the previous verse, that I remember everything and you don't. Why Arjuna is not able to remember? Because Arjuna here represents as a person who is influenced by the modes of material nature. So therefore, being influenced by the modes of ignorance, a person forgets. That is because material energy is working on that matter. But transcendence or transcendental personality is something, as I said, it is beyond material nature. So material nature has no influence. Material nature cannot attack. Material nature cannot bring out any change in transcendental forms. Therefore, even though the Supreme Lord may come, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that Krishna, it may appear that he took birth, he grew up, he played around, and he became youth. But Krishna's age does not go beyond that. He's always a youth. And Prabhupada mentions that even though at the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as an example, by that time Krishna was more than 100 years old. He had grandchildren. But you don't see Krishna driving a chariot, an old man. Like you see many of these drivers of big, big rich people. Many of them are old. So you don't see Krishna, someone having white hair, skin sagging down. He's still youthful, young, fully energetic. Why? Because that influence, material nature influencing us, that is why there is change. At some point of time we were small kids, now we have grown up, and in future we'll become old and one day we'll die, we'll be lost. But that is not with Krishna. Why? Because he is completely beyond this material existence. So Krishna has, he cannot be influenced by material energy, and that is why he is transcendental. So if Krishna is transcendental, then how we as matter, how matter can perceive transcendence? Because if Krishna is coming, and if there is a tendency for us to always not able to understand Krishna, or always lead towards the direction of atheism or towards impersonalism, how is that possible? How can we understand Krishna as it is? How can we not be influenced by the modes of material nature, and which we are always prone to? Always, everybody is prone to. Nobody can say that we have come out of it, we have become free from the influence of material energy. None of us. We see in our day-to-day life, at every point of time, wherever we go, sometimes we are free, sometimes we think we are transcended the mode, but the next moment we are immediately attacked and we come under the influence. So how a matter can perceive transcendence? And therefore in this principle is very beautifully explained in Srimad Bhagavatam of the 10th canto. When Krishna, the 10th canto is Krishna appearing in his original form. So when Krishna appeared, as Prabhupada also mentions in this purport, that when Krishna appears before his mother as Narayan with four hands and his decorations of the six kinds of full opulences, his appearances in original eternal form is his causeless mercy, bestowed upon the living entity so that they can concentrate on the Supreme Lord. So Lord comes, Lord appears, it appears that the Lord is taking shelter of the womb of Devaki. But it is not like that. Krishna, Prabhupada gives the example that Krishna's appearance and disappearance is not like us. It does not that when one male and female comes together and there is a offspring produced. That is not with Krishna. As someone in IIT, once Devamrit Maharaj went there to give for a Janmashtami festival. So he gave his class, and after that somebody asked, he was saying that Kamsa is actually a fool. Even though it may appear that Kamsa was a big demon, very intelligent, very powerful, but according to us he was a fool. So he said, why do you think like that? Because Kamsa had put Vasudeva and Devaki in the jail, because the Akashvani was that the eighth child of Devaki will kill. It would have been so easy if we had to keep Vasudeva and Devaki in a separate cell, two different places. Narayaga Basna Vajayaga Vasuri, nothing would happen. Both of them would have not come together and they would know Krishna, nothing. What to speak of the eighth child, not even first would take birth. He said, so what is this? Why people think like that? Because they think, just like we took birth because of our mother and father came together, Krishna also must come together, or Krishna also appears when Vasudeva and Devaki come together. And we see in Bhagavatam, Krishna's appearance is not like that. Even though then the Maharaj explained that even if Kamsa had to keep Devaki and Vasudeva in a separate cell, still Krishna would have appeared. Why? Because Krishna is not like us. His appearance is not like us. We cannot perceive Krishna according to our own way. Krishna is like sun. Sun appears, sun rises, sun is there for some time and sun sets. But that is not, we cannot say every day sun is taking birth and sun is dying. Defective is in ourself. Defective is in our senses, not with the sun. So similarly, Krishna is complete in himself. He is not defective. He is perfect. Since we are defective, we fail to understand him as he is. And therefore, when Krishna, when he has to appear, he first, Bhagavatam explains, that first he appeared in the mind of Vasudev, and from his mind he entered his heart, and from heart of Vasudev, he entered the heart of Devaki, and from Devaki's heart, he descended into the womb of Devaki. And when Krishna appeared, or manifested in the womb of Devaki, Devaki was completely surcharged. She was looking effulgent. And that time, Kamsa also saw. Kamsa could make out the difference. As We also make the difference when somebody becomes a devotee, what he was before accepting the process of devotional service and what he looks afterwards. Because Krishna, when he enters the heart of a devotee, the devotee's external look, not only internal, externally everything changes. So Devaki was looking effulgent. And Kamsa, when he saw Devaki, he saw that the effulgence of Devaki was so bright that he became fearful. He gave up the idea of killing her and he was just waiting for Krishna to take birth. Meanwhile, when Devaki was in the jail, all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and all others, the full entourage of demigods, they come. They come into their prison cell. For what? To offer prayers to the Lord. Because they know that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond this material world, is now going to appear in this material world. Therefore, they also want to take the opportunity to offer prayers and glorify Him. So there are a series of prayers, but these 2-3 prayers which I found in connection with today's verse are very beautiful. So they are praying, Sattvam na chedhatur idam nija bhavet vijnanam ajnan abhida paramarjanam guna prakashe amuniyate bhavan prakashate yasya chaneyena vaguna. We are praying that, O Lord, cause of all causes, if your transcendental body were not beyond the modes of material nature, one could not understand the difference between matter and transcendence. Only by your presence, one can understand the transcendental nature of your Lordship, who are the controller of material nature. Your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand unless one is influenced by the presence of your transcendental form. So how can matter perceive transcendence? So the demigods are presenting in their prayers. Says, unless and until you come, unless and until you personally come and present yourself before us in your original transcendental form, we cannot understand you. Because our conception, our vision, our way of thinking or our way of feeling is material. Whatever we see is in relation with matter. But unless and until, like if a person is staying in darkness, his whole ideology or his whole thought process will be that his whole material world is a place of darkness. But in that dark room, if someone comes with a light, then first time when he sees that light, he comes to know that, yes, there is something called as light, which is different from darkness. So he's telling, we are all, our condition is like that. We don't know what light is, unless until the light personally comes. So Krishna, the demigods are praying that you are coming, you are appearing for our benefit so that we can understand, we can, first they are saying, that we can differentiate between matter and transcendence. And then they are saying that it is very difficult to understand unless one is influenced by your presence of your transcendental form. So when the Lord comes, He does not just remain idle. He influences us. He opens, He removes that darkness and He gives us that ability to see Him, to perceive Him. That is the Lord's causeless mercy. That is the first prayer. And therefore, Prabhupada, in the purport, is writing, quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 29, where Lord Brahma is praying in the similar line. He is praying, Atapite deva padambujadvaya prasadaleshanugrahita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachane eko pichiram vichinvan. He's telling, he's praying that, my dear Lord, because Brahma also experienced the same thing. If a common man of this world is to consider Lord as a common man, it is understood. Even Lord Brahma, who has full knowledge, is the first person to be created in this material world. He also gets bewildered by seeing the Lord's transcendental form. He's not able to understand it. And therefore, that entire Brahma Yumonila pastime is there. And after he understands the original form of the Lord, that who this small boy who I'm thinking as ordinary coward boy is not ordinary coward boy, he is my supreme worshipful Lord. When he gets that realization, then he is offering his prayers. That even though I am Lord Brahma, I have 4 heads, I have so much intelligence, I am the secondary creator of this material world, still I am committing blunders, I am committing mistakes. I am not able to perceive you, I am not able to understand you. Then what to speak of us? So he's praying that Atapite Deva Padambujadvaya Prasada, this word, Prasada Leshanu Grihita Evahi. Leshanu Grihita. A person who's, what they say, who's bestowed by a drop of your mercy. Leshan, he's telling. Only that person gets the ability to understand you. And if your mercy is not there on that person, however, whatever he may do, he may practice spiritual life, he may have practiced different processes of to try to understand God, he will only be a failure. He cannot try to understand God. He won't reach the beginning, what to speak of the end, in trying to understand that Lord. That is Brahma's realization. And therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport that the only way to understand God is that we have to elevate ourselves. We have to raise ourselves to that level of platform of transcendence. Then, Prabhupada writes in the purport that devotees who awaken their transcendental nature in the presence of the Lord and who follow the rules and regulations of devotional service can understand Lord Krishna. So devotees, when they see the Lord, they cannot just say, okay, Krishna, you are so nice. No. We have to awaken the transcendental nature in the presence and follow the rules and regulations. So we may come to temple. We may come to temple for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, or we may spend entire life coming to temple. But unless and until we accept the principles of devotional service, unless and until we are ready to change ourselves, unless and until we are ready to live our life according to the principles which Krishna is giving us, our whole attempt will be just an exercise. Our whole attempt to come to temple, like there are so many people, it is a regulative principle for them to come to temple every day without fail. At that particular time, if you come to the temple hall, you will find that person for years together. Years together, you will find that person. Exactly same time, 10, 2, 10, 5, you will see that person every day here. From last 15 years, 20 years is coming. But if you ask him, are you ready to give up tea? No, it's so difficult. He cannot even give up tea. But if a neophyte devotee, if he just surrenders himself that yes, this is Krishna's principle, this is Krishna's rules and regulations, this is what Shastra says, and if he's trying to follow that mere attempt of trying to follow it gives him the ability, the potency to say no to everything. And that raises that person to the platform of transcendence. Just like if you put an iron itself has no effect. But as soon as that iron rod agrees himself to be put in that fire, what happens? It becomes like fire. Then there is no difference between that iron rod, hot iron rod and fire. So what is iron rod doing? Elevating himself to the platform of fire. Then it also becomes like fire. See, the iron rod just keeps away from the fire and says, no, let me become hot. I also want to become like fire. Like many people, in the winter, what they do, they put fire in the center and they'll sit around. It's good to drive away that chilly atmosphere. You may sit around the fire, but you'll just feel a little bit warm. There will be no change. After some time, as soon as you're away from the fire, again you'll feel cold. Again you'll feel your body will start shivering. And similarly, the iron rod also thinks like that. I also want to become like fire. But then iron rod has to put himself in that fire. Allow himself to be there for some time. Allow himself to be heated by that fire. And then that iron rod becomes hot and it becomes as good as fire. So principle is, Prabhupada is saying that one should awaken their transcendental nature in the presence of the Lord and follow the rules and regulations. Whatever the Lord has to say of devotional service. And then that will give that person the eligibility to understand Krishna. And then if one does not take to this process or imagines or manufactures some form of God according to the material qualities, one can never awaken a real understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you come to temple and say, no, this is my principle, this is my way of living, I will do only this much. So you may be satisfied, thinking that I am going to temple, I am doing this much. But what is that thing going to result? What is the result of that? You are spending 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, but you are as it is, no change. Then only thing that will come out, you will concoct your own ways, you will concoct your own philosophy, you will concoct your own form of the Lord, and the result is zero. Nothing is going to come out of it. And therefore, Prabhupada writes that unless one worships the Lord according to the regulative devotional principles, one cannot awaken the transcendental nature. Deity worship, even in the absence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, awakens the transcendental nature of the devotee, who thus becomes increasingly attached to the Lord's lotus feet. So one process, one principle here Prabhupada is mentioning is deity worship. Just by doing that deity worship, one can gradually understand the form of the Lord. One can gradually understand that this deity, which I am considering it to be some stone, is not simply an ordinary stone. It has the potency to purify you. It has the potency to completely change your life. It has the potency to give you the understanding, the ability to understand Him. That Krishna gives. That is the mercy of Krishna. So when Krishna comes, He does not just come. To all those who are favorable, all those who are willing to change, Krishna gives them that ability. That yes, if you want to change, I am empowering you. Yes, change your life. And then one can know Krishna. And therefore, demigods, they are praying in the following verses. It says, Nanama rupe guna janma karma bhir nirupitavve tavatasya sakshina manovachobhyam anumeya vartmano deva kriyayam patiyantyatapihi. O Lord, your transcendental name and form are not ascertained by those who merely speculate on the path of imagination. Your name, form and attributes can be ascertained only through devotional service. Only through devotional service. Bhaktyamam abhi janati. Bhakti is the only means by which one can understand the Lord. No other process. No other process to understand God as He is, in His original transcendental form. And then, we are further praying. They are giving what the devotees do, the process. Shrinvan grinam sam smaram sa chintayan namani rupani cha mangalani te kriyashu yastvak charanara vindayor avistha chetana bhavaya kalpate. Even while engaged in various activities, this is the hope for all of us. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a clear cut. Demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, when they are praying to the Lord, this is a clear cut answer or clear cut principles which they are giving to us. Simple process. Continue whatever we are doing. Be engaged in the various activities. But what we have to do along with that? We have to engage our mind completely. Our mind should be completely absorbed at the lotus feet. And constantly hear Krishna Katha, constantly chant Hare Krishna. Contemplate, engage your mind in thinking whatever we are hearing about the pastimes of the Lord. And cause others, janma sartha kari kar parupkar, cause others also to remember your transcendental names and forms, and by doing this, what happens? Gradually, one gets elevated to that transcendental platform, and thus, they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even though the Lord may be transcendental, even though we may be influenced by these modes of material nature, being this material world, but there is hope for all of us. We can understand the Lord as He is, in His original nature. We can understand that how Lord can be unborn, how Lord can give instructions, speak Bhagavad Gita to Sun God Vivasvan, how we can be unaffected by this material energy. That is what Krishna is speaking. And this is simple answer to that. The demigods, they are giving a speaking their realizations, whatever is there in the heart. And that is the solution for all of us. Just whatever you are doing, be engaged in that. But let our minds be always be engaged in the lotus feet of the Lord. Just hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's holy name, and making others also to remember Krishna. But just by this simple process, one is guaranteed, according to this beautiful prayer of the demigods to the Supreme Lord, one is guaranteed that one also, after being elevated to the transcendent platform, after being heated up, after our temperature is being raised, we can also come to that same level where we can see Krishna face to face, understand Krishna as he is, rather than speculating and being led on a wrong path. This is the hope for us. Otherwise, if the simple process, if it is not accepted, then the only result is we'll either become atheists, we become Mayavadis. That is what is seen today. Even if they believe in the presence of God, they say, no, how God can have a form? How God can do like this? Then everything, whatever we hear about Krishna, we'll doubt his activities. And then we'll say it is mythology. How can an ordinary person build a bridge over the Indian Ocean? How a small boy of 7 years old can live Govardhan Mountain? How we can do this? How we can do that? Because we are trying to see from our senses. But if we give up ourselves, throw our ideas, throw our mentality in a dustbin, and just try to understand what Krishna has to say, what is Krishna's representative has to say, what the Shastras have to say, one is guaranteed that he will be able to understand Krishna. He will feel the presence of Krishna. Then his life will be changed. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Gaur Premanand. Yes. Yeah, you can ask. Speak in the mic.
Okay. My first question is that you said that Krishna gives his mercy before somebody can understand him.
Yeah.
Now, what is the criteria that Krishna follows to give that mercy? Okay. That's question number one. Yeah. And my question number two is, somewhere during your lecture you have used the phrase causeless mercy.
Yeah.
I have heard this phrase many times now.
Yeah, you will hear it many times.
Yeah. So what is the significance of the word causeless?
Causeless.
And so yeah. These are my two questions.
Yeah. So when Krishna says that I give my mercy, the first question is, what is the guarantee, if I understand properly? What is the criteria for that? Criteria that if what is the eligibility? Yeah. So the criteria. Yes. So the criteria to receive Krishna's mercy is your submissiveness. How much are you submissive to what Krishna says? Our Father is ready to take care of us as long as we are submissive to his instructions. That may be lifelong also. If you are submissive to your father, when the father dies or about to die, he will make a will and he will transfer entire property to you. The moment you break your relationship with your father, he will take everything and keep it with him. He will not give that mercy. So this receiving mercy is not just one step process. That is a lifelong process. You have to continue to be submissive. You have to completely increase your submissiveness, you have to increase your surrender. And the degree you increase your submissiveness, to that degree you will receive the mercy. That is Krishna's promise. That is Krishna going to do. And that is what devotees experience. Initially we begin, as soon as you said, you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 100 steps towards you. And you can try it. And that is the whole motivation factor. Why devotees are ready to give up everything? Because they are experiencing Krishna's mercy. They are ready to give up their own conditionings. They are ready to give up their own likings. And they are ready. Whatever Krishna says, even though this is best for me, I am ready to. Because Krishna, you don't like it, I give it up. I surrender unto you. I am submissive to you. And when you do it, then you will experience Krishna's mercy. And how it is manifested? It is manifested in the form of attraction, in the form of eagerness to come to see him, have his darshan, to hear about him, to chant about him, chant his name, and to speak about whatever we are hearing to others, to preach. That is Krishna's mercy. If Krishna does not give that mercy, then you will not experience all these things. You will become a dry. Ek bar aayega, do bar aayega, you will get bored. Kya pak gaya udhar jaake? If you feel that you are getting bored, that means you are not receiving the mercy. And then you have to check yourself. That am I following what Krishna says? That's why I said, you may come here for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. But if you are not ready to change, if you are not ready to come and change yourself. Just like recently we had been to Pandharpur for our Holy Name seminar. So therefore, when we went there, His Holiness Loknath Goswami, he asked, why do we chant? What is the purpose for chanting? So many devotees are there, they gave many different reasons why we chant. But then Maharaj said, recently I was reading some book and I found a very beautiful word. He says, we are chanting to change. For a change. To change what is very important. So when we are ready to change ourselves, then Krishna is ready to go beyond his limits. Krishna is also ready to change himself. Initially, he is not ready to give his mercy. But then when he sees our change, then he also changes. And the second question, as I said, that it is not that mercy is going to remain for some time. Mercy is a continuous process. You increase your surrender, your submissiveness. Krishna, ye yadamam prapadyante, tam sataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna says, in whatever way you approach me, I will deal with you similarly. So mercy remains forever, till lifelong, till the time you die, and not only you die, even after you give up this body. If you are successful in going back home, back to Godhead, that is His mercy. And if you are not successful, still He is merciful. As Krishna says in the 6th chapter, He will place you either in family of rich aristocratic people, intelligent brahmanas, He will give you nice beauty, He will give you birth in a rice, everything, whatever is required for you to advance. That is Krishna's mercy. What you have to do is just come before Krishna and say that Krishna, I am yours. That one thing, when you do it, then Krishna removes his glands, his busy glances, and he places on you. Otherwise, he is busy, has nothing to do with us. He is busy in his own lilas. There are so many loving devotees serving him, and he is blissful, receiving their service and reciprocating with them. He has nothing to do with us. But we have to present ourselves in such a way, we have to attract his glands. But Krishna, please, see, I am also standing here, please. Have a sidelong glance, not even a full glance. That will come when we are submissive, when we are ready for a change. And the degrees go, there is no limit to that. There is no limit, because we are spiritual activity. In spiritual world, there is no limit to devotees serving Krishna, and there is no limit to devotees, to Krishna serving his devotees. It is an endless story. So not what to speak of this life. Entire life, millions of lives, and for eternity. Krishna is eternal. As he says in this verse, he is eternal. So that mercy is also eternal, provided we are ready to become eternal to receive his mercy. Causeless. So causeless means one which does not have any cause. If you are traveling in your car, if you are walking along the road, there may be 10 beggars, 10 boys knocking at your window. Hey Baba, de do karke, something, give me something. But among the 10 boys, you feel like giving 1 rupee or 2 rupee to one particular boy. Why? If you are giving, everybody is begging. But why you are giving to that person? That is causeless. Causeless means one which does not have any cause. You are attracted. So, at our stage, our condition is like that beggars. Krishna is just busy playing his flutes. This is the highway. You just have to come and beg before Krishna. Beg for that causeless mercy. That I don't, what they say, I deserve it. I don't deserve it. But if you are merciful, then you may, make me qualified. You may make me the recipient of your mercy. And that depends only on the, you cannot force someone, hey, look at me and give me only. If you go to any temple outside, if you go to Mahalakshmi, if you go to Ajjali, people are sitting, beggars are sitting in full line. If you go to Govardhan also, there is one Dan Ghati. You'll find, nowhere you'll find beggars in Govardhan, except that area called Dan Ghati. Line beggars are sitting. If you are rich enough, then you may give everyone. But if you have limited stock of money, then you still, you'll give only this. There's not anything. Why only to this person? Is there any formula, some calculation, some permutation, combination? No. 2, 4, 7, even number, odd number, then only I will give. Nothing like that. You just go and give it. You may not deserve it, but still you feel like giving it. That is causeless. So we may not deserve, with our all contaminated heart, our anarthas, we may not deserve Krishna's mercy. But somehow there, if we can come, be in the association of devotees, and develop that desire to serve Krishna and please Krishna, then if one day Krishna willing, he will shower his causeless mercy, and then our life will become perfect. So our only hope in life is receiving the causeless mercy of Krishna and his devotees. There is no other hope. And that hope, that mercy, is the only thing that will sustain us. There is nothing, no other hope for us. We can just pray to Krishna and his devotees that you just, I am the most undeserving candidate, but if you are merciful, then please employ me. Keep under your shelter. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hope I answered your question.